RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
A Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers, on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, and on the free Odyssey app.
This is the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon. I'm Mitch Nellis, he's Tommy Wirtz, and Mason Crosby is embracing the power of friendship today. What up, Mace?
Yes, I am. And hey, I'm rooting for Coastal Carolina. What is that? Chanticleers? Chanticleers.
It's a type of pirate.
I knew it, and I love them.
Yar!
Yeah. Now spell Chanticleer without looking at it.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at it right now.
C-L-E-E-R.
Okay, Mitch, we get it. You have a journalism degree.
Yeah,
okay,
so dude. Smart, Mitch. Jeez.
Yeah, it's
oh, hey, Louisiana Tech also. So I lived in Ruston, Louisiana when I was a kid for 9 months. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That smells like home.
So breaking news for all the Patriots fans. Stephon Diggs facing felony charges of strangulation, misdemeanor charge of assault stemming from a December 2nd incident. That's not good going into the playoffs, is it?
No.
Not good in life. Like, let's start with there. Like obviously, from a football perspective, who cares? Like, don't strangle people. How about that? Like, can we all be perfect on
NFL is aware of the situation and has been in contact with the team. Just if you were wondering, stance. Yeah,
that was so corporate Crosby.
Exactly.
Did Jordy text you that?
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Say that?
Yeah. Oh, hey, I saw Jordy's name. Speaking of Jordy, I saw him up on one of the. He upheld a suspension. For one of the, what was it, a linebacker or somebody? It was kind of a big name, and it was like Jordy Nelson, upholds the suspension ruling here.
Yeah.
Hardcore.
Your Honor Nelson. That's what
Your Honor. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow. That's what they're calling him now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Lot, One Call, That's All. One of our all-time favorites. He's celebrating this weird week in between Christmas and New Year's by doing whatever he wants to do. Because there's no rules this week. He's Dusty Evely from Acme Packing. Dusty, how you doing, brother?
Gentlemen, I am doing great. It is lovely to see you guys again. How are you all?
I'm doing great. I love that Hinterland hat. Look at that.
Hey, I was up for the Chicago game, the one that they won, the good game.
The good one,
Hinterland, and picked it up when I was up there. So I'm
nice.
Rocking my brand new hat.
Heck yeah. Last time I was in doing a little thing, I popped in there, had a nice beer. They're like Grand Cru. Oh, it's one of my favorites. So
cherry wheat, man. Cherry wheat.
Cherry wheat. Okay. Ooh. You like to fruit your beer.
Can we just ask you about that later.
That sounded like a shot.
That was a shot. Shots fired.
Can we just all agree to meet up for a beer at some point? Let's just agree to that.
All right, perfect.
Done.
Yeah. All right, Dusty. We haven't had you in a little bit, or at least I haven't talked to you. You know, I'm so curious to just get your thoughts from this past game, what you kind of envision they're going to do here against Minnesota this week on a pseudo bye where they can't really improve their status in the playoffs. Just talk about what you've seen from this team, as a whole here, this especially coming off this Ravens week.
Yeah, I mean, this past week wasn't great. I was really interested in it. I mean, the outcome I didn't really care about. Obviously, you want the defense to play a little better. I was really curious about the offense because I had been one. Willis in the past had been so, like, run-heavy, so motion-heavy, so misdirect-heavy. I thought it was really interesting. They dialed all that stuff back. He was more like pure drop-back, and I thought he handled himself well. The run game did nothing, and that was a little frustrating. But as far as Willis handling, which was – one of the more pared down offenses I think I've seen in Green Bay outside of the preseason. He did a really good job. Obviously, Watson did good. Those first two plays just coming out the gate and going, all right, yeah, we're dropping back and slinging this was awesome. So I don't think they did anything crazy, but they gave him a game plan that he could kind of operate from a dropback perspective, and he did a really good job. So it was a offensive perspective, really fun game to watch. Defense, not so much, but I really enjoyed what the pass game looked like with Willis out there. This week, man, I have no idea. Like, and Mason, you probably have a better idea of this than I do, because so much of this, I think, revolves around what that team in the locker room is feeling, right? Like, do you want to go into the playoffs on a 4-game losing streak, or is health more important? Like, someone like Josh Jacobs probably needs to sit, get that knee right. But everyone else, like, if they can go, is this one where they should go for at least a half? Like, that's kind of how it feels right now.
Like, just kind of get that rolling. Game, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it feels like preseason to me. Is that kind of where you sit, or is it just about the guys in the locker room in terms of like how they react to that stuff?
Well, it's kind of, I look back, at some different moments in my time there in Green Bay. And, we had a few of these where it's like, you can't really improve your status. I think it was a mixed bag. It was kind of like sometimes Aaron played, sometimes you throw the backup out there, just kind of dependent on the health. And so it's going to be a lot of up to, I will say, Jordan Love should have some input. Like, if he says like, hey, I need to get some game action, like, I want to make sure I'm good as we go into the playoffs, and you got to kind of decide if that's worth putting him out there and risking injury. But at the same time, it's like, okay, or do you just protect guys and be like, hey, we're going to get a lot of practice in, you're going to be all right, we're going to go, we're playing familiar opponents, probably Chicago. And so you're going to go out there and cut it loose whenever we get into the playoffs. So I think they're going to just have to evaluate that as this week unfolds, and, just see where his health is. But is that like this last game against the Ravens? They ran all over this defense. Yeah. I mean, that has it concerns me. It has to be concerning, like, as you turn on the film, where it's just like it was a lack of effort and talent in a sense. Like, the bodies, it's just guys just getting blown off the ball. So what did you see? Ravens, obviously, Derrick Henry's a beast, but he does that to a lot of teams. But they just didn't even look like they wanted to get physical with him. And what do you think the reaction, and how do you think they change from that going into the playoffs here?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like some guys were up for it and some guys weren't. I don't think any of the guys on the front were. Like, Evan Williams, one of that smoke. There was a handful of times in the game where they're like, well, these safeties are getting run over. Like, Evan Williams got put in the ground but still made the tackle and gave up an extra 2 yards while hanging on the guy's leg. Like, he's meeting Derrick Henry 15 yards downfield, squared up shoulders. That's not lack of effort or anything. And I think Edge Cooper did a really good job. We saw Carrington Valentine do what Carrington Valentine does at times, which we know he's not a good tackler. But I mean, some of it was like, well, it's the injuries. Injuries kind of kill them. Well, if like Riley going down is killing your front, like, that is somewhat a talent issue. They've lost a lot of guys in the front. Riley looked good there last week as well. But it certainly was. To your point, some of it was concerning. It is talent. We went into the season light. They went in with relatively light bodies. They've not gotten bigger. Stackhouse hasn't done anything. Brinson, I think, has showed some good things, but he's not a run guy up front. But you can still find times where they slice through. There was no push. It seems a lot of times guys just in the wrong gaps. I am not the best at sussing out kind of where guys should be all the time, but it seems like a lot of times those run fits were just off, guys attacking wrong gaps, gaps not being there because they're just getting shoved off the ball by 3 yards. So I think it was all across the board. They're kind of short on bodies. That was I don't think Bohanna dressed. It feels like they're going to need to get, I think, would they bring what's his face back in this week from the Bears that was there? Jonathan Ford.
Yeah.
Bass player from Onward Sailor, Roadside Monument, early mid 90s band. It's the same name, so I get confused there. Nice. But he, like, they just need bodies, but they need
another
bodies to hold
reference.
Attack.
I like it.
Yeah. We had a plain white tees conversation.
Plain white tees
conversation.
Okay. Yeah, that's where, if you see Tommy, that's what he's going for right now. He's throwing it back.
He's a member.
Dusty, I don't know. I felt like I didn't look at the PFF grades, but just like from a perspective of watching the game, Cooper and Walker, their benefit is their athleticism, right? And their speed, able to cover the entire field. Did they just get absolutely exposed that run between the tackles is going to be much more beneficial than trying to stretch the field on some outside runs? And you go look back at what Jahmyr Gibbs and the Lions did against the Packers versus what just happened with Derrick Henry and the Ravens, right? I'm worried that it's a blueprint that has now just been given to the rest of the NFL.
Carolina, Cleveland, like, control the clock. Don't let this offense get explosive games.
I just saw this stat, and I want to make sure. I believe Green Bay is last in the NFL in total plays per drive on defense, meaning they give up the most plays, and the longest time of possession as well for those. Yeah. Like, both seem like terrible recipes for having a successful season on the defensive side of the ball, Dusty.
What I've been tracking, that's something I've been tracking all year as well. I did not look at it this week, but defensively, they've been top three or bottom three, depending on how I look at that all year. And then offense, they've been the same way. Offense takes, I think last time I looked, they were the third longest offensive drives. So I think we talked about this at some point when I was on. You get it leads to these very just compressed games where you don't have a whole lot of the offense needs to be almost perfect. And you look at the number of plays they run, they're down to like 62 plays. They ran 45, I think, this past week, like 45 real like non-kneel down plays this past week. You have to be perfect because you're getting so few drives because you're giving up so many on the ground. You're giving up so many on defense, and you're taking so long on offense. So it leads to this compressed game.
Yeah, the official stat is plays per drive 6.8, and then time of possession 3:18. Both last in the NFL.
Yeah,
and they kind of go together, right?
Yep. Yeah. They do, and it is. I mean, The run game stuff's concerning, you know, for some of that, because it is, you're not giving up explosives, I guess, unless you're facing the Ravens. But if you're picking up 6 to 8 yards a chunk, you just drive down, and there's teams, a lot of teams aren't patient to do that. Some teams are very patient to do that. And I mean, it depends in terms of like red flags. It depends on who you see in the playoffs. I mean, the Bears have been good at that. The Packers have been a good wide zone defense team all year. The Ravens just threw a whole bunch of bodies, dude, just a whole bunch of pull stuff. So are you going to face teams that can run pull stuff at you, can run gap scheme runs at you and kill you that way? The Bears have been pretty good at that, even if they've been a little more zone heavy this year. Eagles have been bad at that. And so I think it depends on what team you face. You're not changing your run scheme stuff midstream at this point. But it is, I mean, it's concerning. It's been concerning all year. They haven't been killed with it every game, but the games when they have been killed, like, it just looks hopeless out there.
We got Dusty Evely at Acme Packing Company, at Dusty Evely on X, joining the Mason Crosby Show. Got a couple things to throw at you. Well, first off, if they get past the Bears or Eagles and they say have to play the 49ers, you're talking about all that action throwing bodies at you. Like, that could be a long day for this Packers defense. Yeah, just like, you know, McCaffrey with all, you know, like all the motion and getting guys in front. That could be a tough day. But I do want to go to the Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line, which, if you wanted to chime in, ask a question, 414-677-1250. I'm sure you saw this. Trayvon Diggs became available. Yeah. He's going to go through waivers, see all that. Like, what do you think? Do you think that's a viable option for this Packers team to try to kick the tires on something like that?
I go one of two ways. Like, the Cowboys have been the worst pass defense in the league this year, and if they say, we don't want you with one game left, like, that's probably not great. But at the same time, like, you need bodies, and one issue the Packers have had this year has been lack of turnovers. That's been the lack of takeaways on the defensive side. It's been tough. Axe has got his hands on a couple, has not been able to come down with them. Diggs is going to get burned. Buddy, we got guys that'll get burned, but Diggs will also, when he gets his hands on the ball, he'll bring it in. So it's kind of one of those.
He's only 27. He's only 27.
I know. He's coming off a couple of major injuries too. Like, he's one of those.
But you just maybe need him for this playoff run, right? Like,
He's there, you grab him and see what you can take. I think just because you need bodies at this point. We're like one injury away from Bo Melton starting corner, right? Like,
we're like one injury away from him playing quarterback. It feels like, Dusty. Like,
that's true.
I was surprised. I mean, honestly, I thought maybe they'd throw Jaden Reed or put somebody in there at quarterback last game whenever Malik went out. So. What do you think? Like, I'd love we're not at the end, like, we are last week of the season. What would you say free agent grades are for the guys that were brought in. Like, I'm just curious your thoughts. Aaron Banks, Nate Hobbs, like some of the guys they brought in. Obviously, we know Micah Parsons, what he was. So everyone else that they kind of signed thinking they were going to have an impact. How do you think those guys fared this year?
I think you feel better as it's gone on. Hobbs still feels incomplete because it feels like every time he gets out there, he's injured. I think once they kind of moved him to the slot and he's playing more natural position when he was out there, I think he looked good. It was real rough early in the season. Banks, I was real down on early this season just because he looked really bad. And then the thought was, the hope was, well, maybe he's injured. Maybe there's the injury stuff. And I think he's come on of late. Like, he's still not perfect. But as far as what they signed that him for was, we need competent guard play. We need a big dude. We want competent guard. Now, I don't think they're getting what they wanted to out of him. I think they wanted to be able to run with those five and push bodies around. He hasn't been that. But I think as he's gotten healthy, as the season's gone on, I think that's been a good signing. The money I never really care about. Did it preclude them from doing anything they wanted to do? No. So, like, it was big money, but, like, it's also not my money, and it didn't stop them from doing other things. So, like, I don't really care.
Yeah,
but I
think Banks has stepped up since he's been healthy. He's been a lot better.
Went from, like, early in the season was, can they get out of this after 1 year, to, like, all right, well, he's starting left guard next year. That's kind of where I'm going.
Yeah. All right, Dusty, is this team tough, or are they really soft?
SAWFT, soft.
It's never anything you can, like, you can't quantify.
Say it. Are they tough?
Charmin.
Or they soft?
Say Charmin. Do it. Are they tougher?
I don't think they're soft. I don't think they're soft. Okay. I think they are injured, and they got beaten up in places where, like, you can hold firm other places. You look at some of the hits that, like, some of those guys laid on them. I think it's true for every team. There are some soft guys, and there are some guys who are not soft. You watch that game this past week and say, well, was the defensive soft? Well, buddy, I saw Evan Williams and Edge Cooper blow some dudes up. That's not a soft defense. They're still playing fast. They're still playing downhill.
Some players are tough, but is the team soft or tough?
I don't think so. I hate saying that about any team that plays football. I do not think they're soft. I've seen softer teams. I will say that.
I'm not going to lie. In team meeting rooms, when we played certain teams, like, trust me, in those buildings, they say they're soft or they're tough. Like,
well, so what do you go think into saying there? Listen, I'm not going to call someone.
You're not saying it about yourself, but you're going to turn on film and you're watching an opponent and you'll be like, this team's soft. We better go at them. If they out-physical us, then we're going to have an issue. Right.
So we'll just say, like, there are certain
I've said it and I've said a lot. I've said that like I think as a team, I just watch it. So Raven, this is like always what I look for, right? The Nate Hobbs, when he got hurt, Zay Flowers, him, they hit legs, right? Zay Flowers was hurting. He got up and tried to get off the field. The medical staff had to come get him and all that. But, like, there's, like, I remember Randall Cobbs, Jordy Nett, all those guys. They're like, unless your leg is broken, unless you have some, you're going to pop up, you're going to get up, you better fall trying to get out. Like, there has to be something significant. And that, to me, is like a sign of toughness as well, right? So, like, there's something about that I'm just, I feel like is missing at times with this team. And, it's just bothered me all season.
I typically look at for, like, play on the field. Like, where can you attack them? Like, where can you get pushed around? Like, interior defensive line is soft. And again, some of that is that bodies or play style. I don't know. But if you can shove guys around defensive line, like, that's not a tough group right now. So I kind of look at it from that perspective.
I want to bring up, speaking of soft, Rashawn Gary has been a big conversation point all this
Let's
week.
Go.
And I was wondering, Dusty, they're the Green Bay Packers, like, next year, they're in a really tight money situation. We knew this when they made the trade and the deal for Micah Parsons. There was a lot of talk about Elton Jenkins being a potential cut candidate, right? And almost seems like that writing's on the wall. But now there's a couple other decisions that they could make, too. And Rashawn Gary is a guy they would save $11 million on if they cut him. Josh Jacobs is a guy that they could save $8 million on. That's $40 million on three players right there, Dusty, if they were able to move something around. Do you expect Green Bay to take a hard look at this season and really weigh in some of those decisions on some of these potential cut candidates if they want to try to re-identify themselves as a not soft team and try to find some guys that could replace some of these candidates?
I think you have to. I mean, Jacobs is, I don't know. Jacobs seems more of a health thing than anything else. But the way Gary has played this year, brother, you got the captain patch on. He is, and I don't know if he's not healthy. I don't know if he's never fully recovered. Maybe his body's just done. I have no idea. I don't want to speak on any of that. He has not been good. And I think if you got Parsons on the other side, typically the way I look at pass rush plan, like you can do a whole bunch of different stuff. I don't know if Halfley's going to be there or not, but you get a swooper off the edge and you get a hammer to one side. And so if you got Parsons can do both, but if Parsons is your swooper, all right, we just need a hammer. We need someone on the other side to kind of like just compress the pocket while the other guy comes in and cleans up. If you got LVN, if you've got other bodies, like you don't need anyone that's like huge on that side. You just need someone to hold the line and be able to compress the pocket. You can find those dudes. That was what Gary was. I don't think you need him if he's not doing that. He's not been doing that so far. So I think they are going to have to take a hard look at those guys based on what Gary has done. I mean, back half of this year, unless there is an injury we don't know about, I don't know how you bring that guy back off of that.
Well, and what about Elton too? Yeah. Same, probably, right? Like
he was not good as he was not good at center. And again, that was probably a health thing. I don't think he ever was quite right. But I cannot see a world where he's back, especially when Sean Ryan was played better at center than Elton did when he's been in there.
Yeah, Dusty. I say it a lot. Like, I mean, it for me, I wanted to give Rashawn the benefit of the doubt, right? Where it's like, okay, you got Micah Parsons. He came out, like Rashawn came out of the start of the season really well. He was getting sacks, doing stuff. And then it's like, okay, maybe, he's stopping the run. He's doing his job because this is a team sport. Like Micah Parsons was showcased. Everyone else needs to just play off of him, right? But then it was the effort stuff. That's what got me. It's like that stuff just you can't put it on film where it's like Micah Parsons comes around an edge and is sprinting as hard as he can, might not be catching him, and Rashawn Gary is just kind of jogging behind him. It's like it doesn't matter if you're going to get there. You got to give the effort. That to me is something that just is inexcusable. And I honestly, until that started happening, I'm like, Rashawn Gary might just be filling his role and doing his role. Yeah. And then those things started popping up too much. And it was just like, gosh, it's just too many times on film where that effort isn't there. And that becomes worrisome for sure. But what do you think? What do you think? What do you think this team's going to do in the playoffs? Do you think they got a shot to win a game? And what do you think that means? If they win or lose this weekend, I kind of said it doesn't really matter, like the playoff game. Like if they go to Chicago and lose that game, there's going to be a lot of questions asked about this team, about the staff, and what's going to happen this offseason.
Yeah, I've said, like, since the Parsons injury, and there's with so many other injuries, this feels like it's capped out, lost in the divisional round. Is like, that's the absolute ceiling. Man, if they – I don't care what happens this weekend unless it affects, like, something down the line. Get out of this weekend healthy. If it's the Bears in the wild card, wreck the Bears. Just wreck the Bears in the wild card, and then I don't care what happens after that. Just this felt like the season for a while. There's been too many injuries, too many guys going down. This feels like – lost in the divisional round, make it competitive there, but this does not feel like a team that right now, just health perspective, if nothing else, is set up to make a run. If they do that, they give the beat the Bears, beat the Eagles, whoever in the wild card round, give the divisional team a run. I don't think there's any questions this offseason. Personally, I don't think there should be questions this offseason anyway in terms of like coaching and all that stuff. But I think you kind of cement yourself at that point. You've got your out. You get the extension. You get all that stuff done. But if they lose this weekend and they get wrecked in the wild card round, I think there's going to be some conversations.
Yeah, Dusty, we talked about this earlier on the show, and I'm curious on your thought because you mentioned injuries and all of those things. What do you think the difference then is between a 49ers team that lost Nick Bosa, hasn't had Kittle for most of the season, didn't have Brock Purdy for what, six or eight games, something like that? Fred Warner's out. All their studs are gone as well, but they're still finding a way to get it done. Like what do you see like the difference in those two organizations and how they're playing right now?
I think that offensive line is better. I mean, the defense is worse. Defense is demonstrably worse. It's just the offense is better. And some of that is the skill position guys they have are set into specific roles. And I think, honestly, do their jobs better. Like, what's the Jennings, the wide receiver out there? Like, he is not a flashy guy, but he knows where he's supposed to be and he knows what he's about. And he does that job as good as anyone else on that team, as good as anyone else in the league. And he is good there. You still have – one of my issues with this team has just been – it's young. Yes, they've been around for a while, but you still have guys making still these vet receivers, these third or fourth year guys still making some of the same mistakes, still running the same routes, still not getting lined up, still missing blocks, still some of those things that they are supposed to be good at. Those things are not buttoned up. The Niners, just in terms of operation, in terms of how they operate on the field, in terms of what they do after the ball is snapped, they are tighter than the Packers are. That's just and usually I tend to look at wide receivers on that stuff more than anything else. If you look at what the wide receivers for the Niners are doing as far as break points, block points, all of that stuff, it's not
Pearsall,
an effort thing.
Pearsall's route running is ridiculous.
That guy I watched that dude in Florida. That dude's preposterous. He is a tremendous route runner. When he's healthy, that guy's amazing. And you've got guys like that on the Packers. It's inconsistent. Just when they operate, it's more inconsistent than the Niners, and the Niners just feel more buttoned up on that
front. Sounds like coaching.
Well, and that's the thing, right? And that's where, like, I never know where to put that. Like, it all falls to the head coach. That ultimately falls to the head coach. But that also gets delegated. Like, those details, that's not a LaFleur thing. That's a wide receiver coach thing.
It's a demand.
And from what I understand, there's still, like, there's a hesitance to pay some of the guys to come in to be, like, some of the top-level wide receiver coaches. So you make do with some lower-level guys, and the details suffer, and then it all goes up. It's all head coach answers for all of that. But that some of that is, when you get those finer details, it's hitting the same areas all the time. That probably goes down position coaching, and that's one I never know enough about that to really speak on it too much. It's been a consistent issue, though.
And we'll also see how things change when they go from the siloed approach they have right now to coach reports to the GM, reports to the president, which it sounds like they're going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Awesome. Dusty, man, I always appreciate you. I love your insight. Yeah, thanks for jumping on today. Thank you. Have an awesome new year. We'll talk to you in 2026. It's right on us.
Have a cherry wheat for me.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right.
Now that I know, I'll send you. Yeah, I'll send you some cherry beer.
Some cherry wine.
Let's go. Cherry beer.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Dusty, you make your own? I feel you give like you could brew your own kind of vibes. Like if he just sent you some blueberries and some yeast, could you figure it out?
I never have, but you know what? You send it my way and I'll find a way to make it work. Brother.
Find a way, Dusty.
Nice.
Appreciate you.
Awesome. Thanks, Dusty.
See you guys.
Follow him online at Dusty Eve League. Find him at Acme Packing Company as well. Great stuff. Great research. Dives into the film and all that good stuff. We're going to make some college football. The Bowls are coming up, right?
Yeah. Have you made your picks yet so we know what to
do? I'll go first on all of them. I'll go first on all of them, and then you guys can figure out if you want to risk going against the genius that is the Thunder Picking Service 2025.
That's right. It's almost the new year. Maybe 26 will be better.
That's right. There's no other option.
I mean, Mitch, back to five games above 500 for the year. Like, you had a great, overall, you know what I mean? Like, the last 12 months have been good, but
it's
been brutal since.
We got to start making spring picks. We got to make
let's pick daily baseball
dude,
picks.
Like, we're going to get hard into Yannick Sinner opponents all day off season. Yeah.
Man.
All right. Our thanks to Dusty Evely, Tommy Wirtz, Mason Crosby are here. My name is Mitch Nellis, a.k.a. Thunder. My picks are for entertainment purposes only. This is the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.